Thank you, Roger, for leading the first part of the service. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a quiz from Roger, or a crossword from Roger. I really appreciate that. Well, in the time remaining, I just want to look at the name given to the baby in the manger. It was read to us from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, when a baby is born, he or she has to have a name. And many an argument has developed in the home over what the name of the baby is going to be. The wife might want the little baby called after one of her family members. The husband might want the baby born to be born called after one of his family members. And sometimes little arguments can arise. There can be bits of tension as a result of what is the baby going to be called. A few years ago, my great nephew, my niece, called our little boy Anakin. Yeah, Agnes, that's a strange one, isn't it? After, you know, the guy in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, wasn't it? Anakin Skywalker. So I think she just overruled the husband in that case and said, this is what we're calling him. Earlier this year, Princess Charlotte was born. I wonder if there were any arguments in the royal household about the naming of the child. You know, Charlotte, they reckon that's the feminine form of Charles, so called after William's dad. And also Kate's mum and her sister, their middle name's Charlotte. So maybe a little compromise there. Charlotte Elizabeth, the great-grandmother, called Elizabeth, and Diana after the deceased grandmother. So, you know, there's debates in the house. What are we going to call the child? You know, isn't the name important? Well, the baby born in Bethlehem had to have a name. But Mary and Joseph didn't have to argue or debate about what we were going to call the baby, because the angel came and the angel commanded, this is the name you're going to call him. You shall call his name Jesus. Mary and Joseph obeyed the angel because the angel was the Lord's messenger. So the child was given the name Jesus. The Son of God was given a name just like any other baby. And for that time and that place, among those people living in around Bethlehem, Nazareth, and those towns, you know, it was a rather ordinary name, Jesus or Joshua. You shall call his name Jesus. Was that important? Would it have been okay for Mary or Joseph to ignore that command and give him another name? Could they have called him Isaiah because they liked the prophet Isaiah? Could they have called him Malachi because that was the last book of the Old Testament and they liked the name Malachi? Could they have called him any name that they wanted from, you know, their family background? Well, absolutely not. Friends, it was very, very important that the baby in the manger be called Jesus. Because in the Bible, a name is very important. It tells us something about the person with the name. For example, Abram's name was changed to Abraham because he would be the father of many nations. Isaac means laughter, and recalls the laughter and joy that Abraham and Sarah had when they received the news that, you know, a son was going to be born to them in their old age. Jacob means Israel. Hannah called her son Samuel because she asked him of the Lord. At a time when the people of God had turned away from God, one of the mothers of Israel named their son Ichabod, which meant the glory of God has departed. Elijah means God is Lord. So why is the baby in the manger called Jesus? Well, friends, the name Jesus is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew Joshua. And the name Joshua means the Lord saves. And just in case we didn't understand that, the angel explains it to us. You shall call his name Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. Now then, why is the baby in the manger called Jesus? Absolutely clear, because he will save. That is his purpose in coming. Jesus is exactly who his name says he is. Jesus is Savior. That is why the name tells us, you know, he took on our flesh. He took on our flesh to be our Savior. The name tells us why he came to earth. He came to earth to be our Savior. The name tells us why he was born. He was born to be Savior. The name tells us why he suffered and bled on the cross. Because he's dying to be our Savior. Why did he die? Why did he rise again from the dead? Because he is the Savior. In the Gospel of Luke, we can read of the day when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple. And in the temple, there were lots of other parents with their babies. And, you know, babies excite attention. You know, as soon as a newborn baby makes an appearance, all people are over and they're looking at the little baby and they want to hold the baby and nurse it. And they want to ask all sorts of questions. You know, what did you call the little one? What weight was he when he was born, etc.? Well, we're told of an old man in the temple in Luke chapter 2. Not sure if he was as old as the little old lady at the back that got the sweet, but he was very, very old, and his name was Simeon. And we're told of Simeon coming into the temple, and Mary and Joseph are there with the baby Jesus, you know, just over a week old. And this is what we read. Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the fall of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. That's you and me, we are Gentiles. And here he is, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Now, friends, do you hear what Simeon said? He goes in and he sees Jesus, takes that little baby in his arms, and he says, I see salvation. In this baby, I see the Savior. And he's barely finished when a very old woman by the name of Anna, a prophetess, comes over. And she takes one look at the Lord Jesus and spoke of him and all those who looked upon him for the redemption of Jerusalem. She says, this is the one who's going to save. This is the one who's going to deliver. You see, Simeon and Anna knew the most important thing that there is to know about the baby Jesus. They knew that he was Savior. Now, do you know that Jesus is Savior? Do you know that he is your Savior? Because he came to bleed and die for you. It's as personal as that. He loved me and gave himself for me, says the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2. Is he your Savior? Simeon could look at him and say, he's my Savior. Anna could look at him and say, he's my Savior. Others could look at him and say, he's my Savior. Have you done that? Are you able to say, yes, he is also my Savior? Why do you need a Savior? We touched on it at the Carl service on Friday evening. We need a Savior because we are all sinners. That means we are separated from God. That means we're alienated from God. And that means that all of us here need saving. Because God says that all have sinned. All have fallen short of his glory. And so we all need a Savior. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that we're good enough. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking, well, I'm not as bad as that person. You know, there's always somebody that you'll find yourself better than. I'm always better than him. And we're using ourselves as a measuring stick, our own morality. But God says, look, you've got to lift your eyes heavenward. And you got to judge people by my standard. And judge, God says, when I judge, I see none good. So don't delude yourself. You listen to what your Maker says. Your Maker says, you know, whether you're a little boy or a little girl, whether you're younger or older, your Maker says you were born in trespasses and sins. That's why you struggle sometimes to do what's right. That's why you're disobedient in school sometimes, isn't it? That's why you're disobedient to mom and dad. That's why adults mess things up. Because there's sin in our lives. There is something wrong with us. And we need fixed. And we can't fix ourselves. That's why Jesus came. He is Savior. You read Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through the 12. It tells us what we're really like. God gives us a little picture of us. You know that there's nothing clean about us. We're all sinners. We all need to repent. We all need saving. And we all need saving because of sin and its consequences. You know, just at the end of the summer, wasn't it at the end of the Mancunian Way? A little hole appeared at the edge of the motorway. And I think they sent out a couple from the council to fix it with a little bit of asphalt, and one of those little wheel borrow things, and roll over it. The time they got there, it had grown. I think they're still working on it. It's nearly the size of a football pitch, apparently. It's huge. That's a bit like sin. It starts off so small, almost imperceptible. But then before you know it, the consequences, it is swallowing up everything. Eve takes a bite of an apple, or a fruit, that's what it says. She takes a bite of a fruit. You say, but it's so small. But look at the consequences. That one act of disobedience has opened up a hole that's swallowing everything. And it's exactly the same with sin in our lives. Sin has consequences. And we can't rectify it ourselves. The results of sin, it can start off so small, almost fixable. You know, the first person who takes a cigarette never wants to be addicted to cigarettes, never wants to be on 60 a day. You know, the first person who takes, some drug, thinking I'll be able to control it, before they know it, it's controlling them. You know, the first person who goes out and takes a beer, never wanting to be an alcoholic. But before they know it, it's controlling them. It's consequences of sin. Consequences of disobedience. Because of sin, lives are ruined. Because of sin, families are wrecked. It's because of sin, children are abused. It's because of sin, people are murdered. It's because of sin, lies are told. It's because of sin, wars rage. It's because of sin, alcohol is abused. Men and women live prodigal lives, wasteful lives. Because of sin, our natural inclination is to do evil, think evil, and say evil. But these are only the consequences in the life on this earth. Friends, far more devastating than this are the eternal consequences of sin. Because God is so holy, he will not let a sinner into his presence. You need to realize that your sin makes God angry. God is angry with the wicked every day, it says in the Psalms. And you need to realize the wrath of God against all ungodliness and wickedness. You need to realize that the wages of sin is death, eternal death, death and everlasting, and the everlasting fires of hell. But friends, we just can't leave it there, can we? Because we're talking about the good news, and we're thinking about the good news at this time of year. Saved. You can be saved. Saved from what? Yes, saved from the consequences of sin. Saved from an eternal hell. That's what you're going to be saved from. And how are you going to be saved? Because this baby was born, Jesus. He's the Savior. And he goes to the cross and he bleeds and he dies so that we can live rather than die. That's what salvation is. It saves us from sin. It brings us from death to life. And the best known verse in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That is the greatest gift that was ever given. You'll be receiving presents on Friday from, you know, your parents, from aunts, uncles, whatever. Some of those presents will be precious presents. But you know, the most precious gift that was ever given was the gift of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that gift is the gift that saves us from our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, that's the operative word, whoever believes will never perish. That means to drown, to burn, to go to hell. Will never perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God sent Jesus so we will not perish. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, right now he's Savior, at this moment. But he will not always be Savior. There'll come a day when he will come as judge. He won't be judged by a baby, but judged by a holy and a righteous God. So now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the hour of grace. That word Roger explained at the beginning of the service. Grace, undeserved favor. Getting from God what I don't deserve. Getting from God life. Getting from God forgiveness. Getting from God exonerated, declared not guilty. Why? Because the Savior paid it all.